the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, and may God add his blessing to the reading of the scripture this morning, and may the words from my mouth be just what we need to hear. A man was watching TV, and his wife was trying to talk to him, something that probably never happens around here to any of you. And she said, "Honey, the plumber didn't come to fix the leak behind the water heater today." And he said, uh-huh. And his wife said, "Well, the pipe burst and it flooded the whole basement and there's a foot and a half of water in the basement." And he said, "Shh, it's third down and goal to go." His wife said, "Some of the wiring got wet and almost electrocuted Fido." His husband said, "Darn, touchdown, wrong team." The vet says, Fido will be better in a week," the wife says. He says, "Can you get me a Coke?" She says, "The plumber told me that he was happy that our pipe broke because now he can go on vacation." And she said, and he said, "Aren't you listening? I said I need a Coke." And she said, "And Stanley, I'm leaving you. The plumber and I are going to fly to Acapulco in the morning." The husband said, "Can't you please stop all that yakking and just get me a Coke?" The trouble around here is that nobody ever listens to me. The poor guy, nobody was listening to him. It was 6 days before the celebration of the Passover. The Passover was a huge celebration in Jerusalem. There was estimated that about 2 million people might have been there. Devout Jews from all over the area had come to offer their sacrifices to God and to pay their temple tax. There were Romans, there were Persians, there were Syrians, there were Egyptians, there were Greeks who all came. And as our lesson opens with Jesus in Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, Bethany was a small village about a mile and a half from Jerusalem. This was after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Mary and Martha were throwing a dinner in Jesus' honor. And Lazarus was, of course, there. A crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there. And so they came, not only because they wanted to see him, but also they came to see Lazarus. Lazarus had become kind of a celebrity, I would imagine. This is the guy who Jesus had risen, who Jesus had brought back from death. And since the beginning of his ministry, Jesus had this kind of rock star following, some who would follow him around, and he attracted the crowds because of some of the things he did and said. And now he had raised a guy from the dead. One of the Pharisees said, look at how the whole world has gone after him. Some Greeks came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." And so Philip told Andrew, and then they both went and told Jesus. Jesus wasn't real impressed, I don't think. He answered with a message about his death. He said, "My soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason that I came. Father, glorify your name." And then, as Arnie read, a voice came from heaven. And this voice said, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again," meaning the name of Jesus. This voice could be heard by anybody who was listening. But notice that John tells us that some of the people who heard the voice said that it was thunder. Others said that an angel had spoken to Jesus. And Jesus answered, "This voice was not for me, not for my benefit, but it was for you." Interesting. God spoke from the heavens. And yet, the people who heard the sound of God speaking dismissed it as thunder. It makes me think of the television show. Remember Seinfeld? Yada, yada, yada. Reminds me of that. Yada, yada, yada was used by the person who didn't want to go into boring details, so he just said yada, yada, yada. I saw him looking at me and yada, yada, yada. You know the rest of the story. The phrase blah, blah, blah kind of works the same way. I remember Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. You know, there was just noise. That's all Charlie Brown heard. This time, it was the sound of thunder. Dr. James Lemler, who was a priest, who was preaching one time about the Trinity, and a mom and a dad had gone home, were heading home from church, and as they were driving in the car, they were talking about the sermon that they just heard, and their little second grade daughter, who was sitting in the back seat, chimed in, and she said, "Oh, Father Lemler's sermons, they're always the same, you know? Blah, 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 love. Blah, 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 love." And Dr. Lemler said when this father came back and told him about this, he said he was amused, and he thought to himself, yeah, this little girl really gets it. The message, the repetition, the core, the redundancy. I'm saying it over and over again. And I should be. And so it is with the Holy Trinity, he said, over and over again. Blah, 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 love. Blah, 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 love. God the Creator, I love you and I give you life. God the Redeemer, I love you and embrace you in that love forever. God the Spirit, I love you and I warm your heart and your soul with my love. Blah, blah, blah. Love. The people didn't hear blah, 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 love that day when the voice spoke from heaven. They heard thunder. Here's the truth. I'd like to suggest that sometimes we as individuals and we as a church get somewhat disconnected from God. So much so that when God speaks to us, whether it's out loud or an inward voice, we don't hear God. Maybe we hear thunder. Jesus told them, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine." But they did not hear. This is a kind of a, there's a vague definition of sin in the Bible. It comes from a Hebrew word that means a failure to listen. When we don't listen, we sometimes cut ourselves off from whoever is talking to us. In the play Saint Joan, which is, of course, about Joan of Arc, Joan tells King Charles about hearing God's messages, about God speaking to her. And Charles thinks she's crazy. And he's somewhat threatened by her. Well, not somewhat. He's threatened by her. And he says, "Oh, your voices, always your voices. Why don't the voices come to me? I'm the king, not you." And Joan says, "The voices do come to you, but you do not hear them. You have not sat in the field in the evening listening for them. When the Angelus Saint rings, when the bell rings, you cross yourself and you're done with it. But if you prayed from your heart and listened to the trilling of the bells in the air after they stop ringing, you would hear the voices every bit as well as I do." End quote. Joan heard the voice of God. If he heard anything at all, Charles the king only heard thunder. Why? Because he was not listening for that voice, and she was. Sometimes I think we get so disconnected from God that we don't hear God's voice. Sometimes we get so preoccupied with the things in this life and with our own stuff that we don't even know that God is speaking. There's a story about an old farmer who was convinced by his nephew to go to the big city for a visit. And so he went with his nephew, and they went on a tour, and as they were walking down the street, the old man stopped and said, "Did you hear that?" And the young man said, "Hear what?" He said, "A cricket." And he walked over to a tuft of grass and growing out of a crack next to a big tall building. And sure enough, in the crack, there was a cricket. The young man was amazed, and he said, "How could you pick up the sound of a cricket with all this city noise?" The old farmer didn't say a word. He just reached into his pocket, pulled out a couple of coins, and threw them on the sidewalk where all people were passing by. And people started to look around and reach into their pockets and see if they had dropped their coins. Look down at the sidewalk to see if they could find those coins that they just heard hit the sidewalk. And the old man said, "We hear what our ears are trained to hear." We get so busy, we don't listen to the people around us. It's like that little game. What do we call a tree that has acorns? Oak. What do we call a funny story? A joke. What do we call a sound made by a frog? Croak. What do we call the white of an egg? Wrong. We call the white of the egg the white of the egg. Everybody gets that wrong, I swear. Anytime I've ever tried that, it's everybody gets it wrong. We get used to those words ending in oak, and so we answer, the white of the egg is the yolk. How well are we listening? How well do we listen to all the words? How well do we listen to other people? How well do we listen to God? The movie Ray is a movie about the life, of course, of musician Ray Charles. Ray Charles, as you know, went blind as a young boy. He was only 7 years old when he lost his sight. He lived his complete childhood in poverty in a one-room shack. And in one scene in the movie, we see Ray as a child run into the house and trip over a chair, and he falls, and it hurts. And so he starts to cry for his mother. And she's standing right in front of him. And she reaches out to him. Then she stops and she thinks, wait a minute. She backs up a little bit. And she stands still and she just watches Ray. Young Ray stops crying. He's very quiet. He listens. He hears behind him the water on the wood stove whistling to a boil. He hears outside the wind blowing. He hears horse hooves out on the road, the sound of the wagon being pulled by. And then he hears in front of him the faint scratch of a grasshopper walking the floorboards of the little shack that he lives in. And he inches over and he picks up the grasshopper and he says, "I hear you too, Mama." And she cries. She weeps with pride and sorrow and wonder. And he later explains, "Mama, I hear like you see." Ray Charles trained himself to listen like anyone who is visually impaired must. That would be wise for us. Sometimes we lose our sight. We need to listen. We need to listen to our friends. We need to listen to our loved ones. We need to learn to listen to God, not just hear blah, 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 or thunder. And I can promise you this, God does speak if we listen. Maybe not out loud, and probably not out loud. Someone asked me this week, "How do I know when God speaks to me? How do I know when the Spirit is guiding me?" Well, most of the time it's not going to be out loud. We worry when people say they hear voices, right? and we should. But the voice of God is usually an inward voice, a quiet voice, a voice in our own mind. God may speak to us that way. God may speak to us through a friend. They may have some advice that comes from God. God may speak to us through a very strong emotion. We may feel like we just really feel very compelled to do something. We see that guy on the corner and he's begging. We may feel strongly compelled to give him a $5 bill, so we do it. That could be God speaking to you. You hear people say things like, I heard God call me into the ministry. I heard God call me into the ministry, never out loud. It was a still, quiet voice inside. And I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. That's how God speaks to us and how God guides us. You see, hear other people saying, I felt God telling me that I should give more, that I should do more, that I should help my neighbor. You know, I saw a situation that needed to be taken care of, and God spoke to me through that. Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Mother Teresa put it this way. I love Mother Teresa quotes. She said, we need to find God, and God cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass, all thrive in silence. See the stars, the moon, and the sun, how they move in silence. The more we receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life. We need silence to be able to touch souls. The essential thing is not what we say, not what we say, but what God says to us and through us. God spoke, but all the people heard that day was thunder. God speaks today to us. Are we listening? Do we hear God's voice? Are we paying attention, perking our ears, pointing our ears in God's direction? Our renewal team is getting back into action. We're meeting a week from tomorrow. And we're going to be working very hard on the future of this church and what we think God's will is for us in the days, months, and years ahead. And we'll have many decisions to make as a committee, as a team, and as a congregation all together in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. The goal, of course, is that we hear God's voice in these meetings, in these gatherings, in the communications that we have with you. Please be in prayer as we approach, once again, this important subject of the future of our church. Pray that us, the members of the committee, and you, all the members of our congregation and friends of the church who are a part of this big church family, will be listening, not for thunder, but for the voice of God. Amen.